Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pirates have a tall order, even though they're facing maybe the worst team in baseball. Garrett Crochet, the best pitcher on the White Sox, on the bump tonight. That guy's got a whip of under one. If he wasn't pitching for Chicago, he'd be better than 6-6, and you'd know a lot more about him. In fact, that guy probably has about as good of a case as anybody to start in the All-Star game. They'll send Marco Gonzalez to the bump against him. First pitch at 8:10 here on the Fan, North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 7 o'clock. More Fan headlines powered by Bowser and Genesis in Monroeville, now open at 93.7thefan.com. Better late than never from Old Malzy. 50-minute mark on the Fans, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's because I don't want to take a break. I want to talk Paul Skeens. It's fun. It is a good summer Friday right now, with one exception. Ace woke me up, Donnie, at like, you'll eventually be here in this station in life. Ace woke me up, and I don't try to look at my phone until I'm ready to get up and actually get out of bed, right? And he woke me up, and so I could tell by the light amount of light coming in my bedroom window that it was sometime between 5 and 6 a.m. You just know time of year, roughly what time it is, okay? I hear him screaming. Lennox has already, he's been having trouble sleeping by himself again, even though he's 5 and a half. I guess that's actually pretty normal. And he had already commandeered Alex much earlier in the night to go into his room. So it's me and Lance sleeping in the bed. I go get Ace. I bring him into our room. He just headbutts and kicks me the whole time. Just nothing but headbutts and kicks. Realize I was going to get up for the day. Realize it's only 6:15. Say, we're going back into your room. He's screaming. He eventually falls asleep in the glider chair with me. Donnie, I'm too old to be sleeping in a glider chair for 3 hours. My back feels like somebody has just been hitting it with a rubber mallet right in between my shoulder blades for the last 10 hours of my life. Not good. You're 28 years old or whatever. You're feeling lovely. Life's good. You just wait, pal. You're going to be like me one day.
Brian Hayes wouldn't like that feeling.
Oh, my God. I said, you know, we were going to make this day all about Paul Skeens, and quite honestly, we are. So you can get at me about whatever you're feeling. Him starting in the All-Star game, just your, in general, your vibe about the way his career has started, how surprised you are. At 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. He's the All-Star Game starter. He is the clear favorite for NL Rookie of the Year now. He is the third betting favorite for the NL Cy Young. He could go for an all-time triple crown here. I mean, it could be that crazy of a year for him. It's hardly unreasonable to suggest. I don't think any of it, Donnie, is his most impressive achievement so far. All-Star Game starter, the 6-0 record, the sub-2 ERA, the ridiculous peripheral numbers, the way he just absolutely sets up and destroys big league hitters. It all pales in comparison to one thing that Paul Skeens has done that I think most people thought he wouldn't do. He's broken, so far, the pony jinx. Shall we? Let's look at Paul Skeens and Pony's words. Hmm. Let's see.
I just saw Pony's face pop up on your computer.
Today,
as well.
Paul Skeen, Pittsburgh is the center of the baseball universe because of this gentleman, Paul Skeen's retweet if you can't wait to watch him do his thing. Shove.
Is it a blurry picture of him?
No. Here's a video of Paul Skeen's hitting a moonshot home run in a snowstorm. Let him DH. I thought this was interesting. Paul Skeen's doesn't sit in the dugout between innings when he's pitching. Find out why. There are more. Hold on. If you guys thought I was high on Kenny Pickett, wait till you get a hold of my Paul Skeen's takes. There's going to be a statue of him outside of the ballpark someday. Where do you see Paul Skeen's in 5 years? In all seriousness, how long until Paul Skeen's passes T.J. Watt and Sidney Crosby for the honor of being the best athlete in Pittsburgh? 2, 3 tops? These are all tweets from May, by the way. Hold on, there's more. Paul Skeen's did not make the 2024 Pirates Hall of Fame. I'm guessing next year he gets the nod. That's funny. This one's creepy. Paul Skeen's at dinner. Much anticipated Paul Skeen's prediction for me. 8 innings pitched, 0 runs, 9 Ks, 93 pitches. The Beast will eat the Tigers for early bird dinner. Hold on. It's unfair. Skeen's is so dominant, makes the Giants look like the Bad News Bears. Skeen's is going out to throw his bullpen. I've never seen a man look more possessed. More dialed in. He's a man possessed, and we're on perfect game watch. Hold on. I'm going to keep finding. He's gotten more. Paul Skeen's, June 11th, is going to win NL Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young Award this season. He's beaten the Chargers, man. He has beaten the Chargers so far. If I get killed by Doran's tackle tomorrow, at least I got to watch Paul Skeen's pitch one more time before I go out.
If he does hit the Rookie of the Year and Cy Young,
Pony's going to make a lot of money.
We do have to pull the Hillgrove tip my cap.
A Pony's going to make money because I know he's bet on this. I thought Cole was really good as a rookie. Skeen's blows that out of the water. He's already in the conversation for the best pitcher in baseball. Who has more ability? I'll wait for your answer. Paul Skeen's is the best thing to happen to the Pirates since Barry Bonds. I mean, I got to be honest with you. He's been right so far.
I was thinking the same thing.
If every starting pitcher became a free agent tonight, Paul Skeen's would get the biggest deal. If every starting pitcher got put into a draft, Skeen's would go first. He's right. He's already one of the best pitchers in baseball. He said some other stuff. Here it is. He will go down as the best pitcher in Pirates history. Seems real. Seems like it could easily
Very
happen.
Real.
There's more. There's so much more. He said Paul Skeen's is going to be the best pitcher any of us have ever seen. So that would be better than Clemens, Big Unit, Maddox. Pick your poison.
Well, he said yesterday it was like the coup de grace from him. He said Paul Skeen's will be the greatest pitcher of all time.
Yeah.
And then I've responded with the, like, tired worker.
The exhausted one.
But then Paul Skeen's proceeded to throw 7 no-hit innings.
I know. I mean,
you want to talk about unflappable. You want to talk about somebody who can't be rattled.
He's beaten the Chargers, man. He has beaten the Chargers from Pony. Coming up in a couple of minutes, about 3:15, I do want to try to put into context where this rookie season for Paul Skeen's ranks. Nick has been waiting very patiently to talk about Paul Skeen's. I wanted to get him on here. What's up, Nick? Nick!
Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about Paul Skeen's. Yeah, this is Nick. I'm sorry about that. Chris, I love you, buddy. Pittsburgh native. I'm calling about the hype. Flying into Dallas to go to Hilton Head on the way back to California to go back to the East Coast. And I'll tell you, I couldn't be more excited. I'm 54 years old. You asked about how hype is. This is the respect that Pittsburgh is getting. Finally, we need this. We all have it. We love it. Let's embrace it. I know we have. I even took your induced transfusion last night. I'm going to use that as my drink on vacation at Hilton Head Island.
Very good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very good.
I have to tell you. Yes, I'm pumping you up because you pumped me up, and I haven't talked to you in a long time. But, you know, this Paul Skeen thing has been fantastic. I mean, not only for baseball, but just the way he's so eloquent and so professional and the way he carries himself. Now, granted, you're going to see a little emotion in him yesterday. I'm kind of glad we saw that in him. You know, you could probably
Did you see him when he got the announcement that he was going to start in the All-Star game, which, for the record, I think that happened on the Dan Patrick show. I'm pretty sure Skeen's already knew. That could not have been a surprising him moment. I have to feel like he knew already. Maybe he didn't. He goes, yeah, that's really cool, man. Like, I'm not sure he even reacted. He's the Terminator.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's just, he's so like, I mean, the physicality, him, the mentality, I mean, I just hope it stays with him. I know a lot of athletes that come through Pittsburgh. Crosby's been great. Lemieux, you know, we've had the bad ones too. They start out great. We think they're going to be fantastic. And they end
he
up
looks,
doing super
other, other than injury, I think he is going to be, Nick, and enjoy your vacation. He is going to be in that Crosby type of category for however long he's here. Do you know what the transfusion, the time release transfusion is?
No, I have, but before you do tell me, I just want to say I feel happy for our guy Nick.
Oh,
you could tell
he's living, brother.
He was in that pre-vacation.
Oh yeah, he was talking with Mrs. Nick, I think, yeah, about where they were going and what they needed to pack, and
then he
said,
"Hold up,
we were talking about Paul Skeens."
Just sounds like a very fired up man in a good way.
Oh, I bet you he is going to have his shirt on for 5 minutes of that vacation. He is going to pass out by the pool at least one time.
He sounds like a Hawaiian shirt type guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do you know what the time release transfusion is?
No, please.
So you know what a transfusion is, right? The drink, grape juice, ginger ale, vodka,
yeah,
a little,
I didn't know that.
And then a little splash of lime juice. I have an ice cube mold at home. I just poured grape juice into it and made four big block ice cubes, like, you know, huge ice cubes of grape juice. Pour the vodka over it, pour the ginger ale over it, pour a little lime juice in, and you have a slow-release transfusion, my friend. The grape juice just melts into the drink.
You might need to get a patent on that.
Unfortunately, I don't think I can patent pouring grape juice into an ice cube tray, but I would love
to. You could take it to the Sharks, maybe.
I would. I'd put it in front of Mark Cuban. Mark, consider the transfusion. Now consider it if it was just frozen. That's a
Mr. Wonderful, maybe, once we get
into the billion-dollar idea, sir. I'd like to hear more about that.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. If I didn't get to you yet, you want to talk Paul Skeens, it's your chance to do so this Friday, so be patient. We'll try to get to everybody that wants to sound off on a guy who's taken Pittsburgh by storm. And to what degree, I wonder, where are you ranking right now, Paul Skeens, your NL All-Star Game starter? Where does his rookie season, just so far, rank among the best in Pittsburgh sports history? Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. And the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. In 15 minutes, we're going to have ourselves a little Friday draft. Mr. Chedrick, Mr. Sonny Gray, we are drafting the best rookie seasons in Pittsburgh sports history. There are rules. One rookie from the Pirates, one from the Penguins, one from the Steelers, and one from Pitt Football or Hoops, a freshman season, a la aka rookie season. One of each. We've got an order, too. Snake style, as always. Intern Sonny Gray going first. Donnie Football going second. Malzy in caboose mode. I don't love the third pick here right now.
I think Sonny feels some pressure. He's nervous back here.
I know.
He said right as we were coming back, oh man, only about 15 minutes until the draft.
I know he's gonna chance to screw up his first pick here. You don't. I think you're gonna leave me in a position where I'm gonna have to do a sell job on my first two when I don't think the pick I want is gonna be there. And I know there, by definition, is going to be at least one staggering rookie year left, but I have a feeling it won't be the one I want. So I was trying to actually put into context where he ranked, and this probably gives a little bit of the game away. But among Pittsburgh seasons, I mean, definitively, like, you could talk about Lemieux and Crosby, just to name a few. Both of those guys hit triple digits in points. Lemieux did it in 73 games. Crosby did it in 81 games. Lemieux got 100, and then Crosby got 102. I could go down the list. I'm not going to, like, belabor the point. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be a name that gets brought up. It's not like I'm giving you guys ideas here when I just name those three. But just to bring those up as a starting point, what I think makes Skeens, for me at least, so different. Crosby was one of the best players for sure in the league when he came in. Lemieux immediately announced himself as one of the upper tier guys, and then by the time he turned like 22, 23, he was there with, it was him and it was Gretzky. But for both of those guys, if you go back and look at the way hockey was actually played then, or you look at like the rest of the league stats, I don't think either one of them was considered like the best at what they do. Roethlisberger had a ridiculous run to start his career, but was anybody going to confuse him for the best quarterback in football back then? No. They were trying, the Steelers were, I think, to insulate him, at least in certain games, and make his playmaking curve as kind of easy for him as possible. Skeens has come in, and for 11 games, he looked like the best starter in the league. There's no real way to, like, baby a pitcher, ease a pitcher in. As a matter of fact, look at what we saw with another first-round Pirates pitcher, Quinn Priester. I mean, he had probably the best outing of his career, you could argue, against the Brewers in that 12-2 game. Look at how much it's taken him to figure it out. Jared Jones came on the scene this year like a bat out of hell. He's still been very good. He still hasn't sniffed what Skeens has done. I mean, he has come in. Who's on the short list with him for the best pitchers in baseball? Some of these guys in the NL who have ridiculously low ERAs, but...
Yeah, Corbin Burns would be up there okay. In Baltimore.
How many guys are you really naming here?
You cannot name many.
And I think Pony's tweet, we laughed about it, kind of made fun of him. If you redrafted all the players available in baseball right now and you made them all free agents, however you'd want to do it, he'd be the first pick. He literally would be the first pick. Because you don't know how Otani's going to be as a pitcher and hitter anymore. Otani'd probably still be the second pick just because people would assume he's going to come back. But at least if you put all the pitchers in, he's absolutely number one and he's absolutely getting the biggest free agent deal. It's one thing for rookies to be really precocious and really good relative to what the expectation is for rookies. It is another thing. It really is another thing altogether for a true rookie to have blown so far past what is expected of a rookie that you start wondering, is this guy just the actual best in the sport? There is really one example, Donnie, I can think of in the last 15 years that like sticks out to me where a rookie had a real case for being called the best player in the game, and that's Trout. That's the only time I can think of it. He was Rookie of the Year award winner. He was this runner-up in the MVP in 2012 to Miggy Cabrera. I still remember thinking that was the wrong decision there. He led the league in runs. He led the league in steals. He led the league in OPS Plus way back when. Now everyone uses OPS Plus. When I would bring it up back then, I was some idiot doing nerd stats. The guy hit .326, had a .963 OPS, hit 30 bombs as a rookie. And I think he was the best player in baseball from day one. Basically, as a true rookie. I know he had 40 games the previous season. Didn't count towards being a rookie there. That's the last time I can remember really in any sport somebody coming into the league and it being default. Like McDavid, it even took him, I think, a year or two because he got hurt his first year. It's the last time I can remember a rookie entering a major four sport and it being pretty evident to everybody involved that they were the best player. Skeens, from a pitching standpoint, has done that. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Tim. He's been waiting patiently in Kennedy. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Donnie. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Boy, it's fun to be talking positives about the Buccos, and I'm going to take your topic there, Chris, about who's the second best starter, because there's no question that it's Skeens. He's such a unicorn. But I've been, you know, a long time watching the team. I'm going to go back to 92 and go off the board kind of with Wakefield. He came up and went 8-1 in his rookie year and came out of nowhere. And he developed, there was a hype, there was a following. He was the kind of guy you'd sit in your seats, you'd want to get out of your seats with a bat and go bat against him because you thought you could hit him. And then all these professional hitters just turned around and came back laughing, literally laughing because they couldn't hit him. Then he goes into the playoffs and he beats the Braves in a game. That's, you know, that's the number two that I can come up with during my fandom, Chris, because he came out of nowhere. He hit, was like a lightning bolt. And, you know, this was before people made up T-shirts. But if this was T-shirt time, there would have been Wakefield T-shirts.
I was only seven years old, Tim, back then. But I remember people saying that if they were going to do anything, if they once they lifted Drabek in Game 7 in 92, they should have thrown Wakefield in there because he was ready to pitch. His arm obviously wasn't taxed, even though I think he had pitched Game 6. And the Braves had pretty clearly established that they couldn't sniff him that whole series. Is that how you remember it?
I do, Chris. I do. And I think Bob Walk talked about that because I think Walk and Wakefield were both warming up for that ninth inning after Belinda came in. But, you know, I'm driving. I don't want to go too far down the road. I'll wind up in a ditch. But the hype that he came up, Wakefield just came out of nowhere. And I can remember when you sitting in my seats, I can see into the dugout. And Leland always smoked a lot. But when Wakefield was pitching, he never was without a dart because he was always on the edge of his seat. He didn't know whether to pull him or leave him in for another 50 pitches. It was great to watch. And that's the only hype I can come up with. Skeens is just eclipsing everything.
And Wakefield, thanks, Tim. Good stuff on that one. I like that call. Wakefield, too, had the fun factor of he threw a knuckleball. Like, it's mesmerizing to watch those images of his knuckler where it literally the ball just... It looks like it's defying the laws of physics because it kind of is. It just sits there straight through the air and then just starts falling all over the place. It is something else altogether to see a guy this young, this advanced. That's the other thing. I say Trout's the only other case of it that I've seen, and I stick by that. But pitching is supposed to be even more of like a fine art. Like, you've got to learn how to pitch. Paul Skeens reminds me of like one of the Terminator, the later movies, where the Terminator keeps getting better and it keeps adapting much quicker to like things you try to do to kill it, and it just keeps rolling right through. Or there's the one X-Men movie where they make the Sentinels and they adapt instantly and they're basically killing everything in sight. That's him. He goes from inning to inning, start to start, whatever, batter to batter, in full Terminator mode, like constantly assimilating new knowledge and then using it against these guys. That's what's, I think, the craziest thing to witness with him. And that's why I think, I don't want to say it. I can't poison the well, even though I don't think I'm going to have a chance to pick him. Up next, we're going to do a little Friday draft. It's a Paul Skeens day. We're celebrating a rookie, first rookie in 29 years in Major League Baseball, rookie pitcher to start the All-Star game. That's what he's going to do. And we're having a draft in his honor. The greatest rookie seasons by Pittsburgh athletes ever. We need one from the Pirates, one from the Penguins, one from the Steelers, and a freshman season from somebody at Pitt. Probably hoops or football, but if one of the three of us goes way off the board, so be it. That's coming up next. We've run into a roadblock on our draft in terms of making it sound good, Donnie. Pony has, as usual, labeled this like a complete psycho, and I can't find the da-na-na-na. No, 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 no. How hard is it for one person to have a sound effect and just label it clearly sound effect, draft sound effect? Is it too much to ask for this guy? It's probably labeled in here deliberately so that nobody else can find it. Hold on. I'm going to find something better then. Let me see if this is good. No. Maybe, do we have a... I wanted to see if we had, like, Hacksaw doing just, ho, and that would be how we announced each pick. Do we have that, like, cut off somewhere?
I don't have him just doing that.
Hold on. He has other stuff labeled as sound effects, and he just doesn't have that. How? How is this guy this way? Why is he the way he is, Donnie? Can you at least play it? Hold on. Let me see if I got one more thing. Nope, he doesn't even have that. He doesn't even have, like, NFL primetime music. Unbelievable psycho behavior. All right. I guess we're having a draft without that sound effect. I don't even want to text him about it because he'll just be cackling over there by the side.
I think I can pull it up.
If you can get it. If you can't get it, eh, so be it. Where'd you find it? Where did you get it?
I just have my own routes.
All right. Here's how this draft works. You got to pick one from the Penguins, one from the Pirates, one from the Steelers, and then one from Pitt Athletics. A freshman for Pitt, a rookie in every other sense for those teams. The best rookie seasons in Pittsburgh sports history. The draft commences now. Intern Sonny Gray is the first pick. Donnie?
You know what? Last time I was here, I'll be honest. I wish I sounded more confident. I mean, you told me I literally sounded like Tristan Jarry in a post-game interview. So I'm going to try to be a bit more confident this time.
Assert yourself. Shoulders yes. back, chest forward here.
And I'm going to assert myself with the sport I am most comfortable with. And an easy pick, we're going Sidney Crosby, first overall.
Okay. I mean, I thought you were going to do something very different there. I'm happy you picked Sidney Crosby. He was very good as a rookie. He was great even as a rookie. The team still stunk, though, and there were other guys who were better. Donnie, how do you feel about Sonny Gray? He's trying to fake it till he makes it here. That's what I sense.
I think he tried to throw me off back here. It sounded like his strategy going in was to stay away from his sport of expertise because I think he knew multiple in the hopper. And I don't know. Now I'm kind of worried that he's a little nervous under the bright lights in there.
I know.
I said, "Oh, I'm going to fall back to hockey."
Right. I feel like he's gone and he just went back to that comfortable bosom of hockey. All right, Donnie.
I mean, if anything, I think this sets you up very well for your spot.
I have certain things I can do here. Yes. Your turn. I know who you're picking.
I'm striking while the iron's hot here. I'm taking Skeens.
I mean, easy.
I mean, he.
Incredible that you got him at number two overall.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to argue like, oh, he's only 11 starts in.
He's the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, like, I don't know if anybody else that we named during this exercise you could actually argue became the best player in his sport or best player at his position.
All I wanted, if Sonny was going to be first pick, I just wanted to be second pick because I was going to take Skeens. So I can't even lie to you and say that, like, oh, yes. This is my master plan.
If Tony was here, he would just argue why Skeens is a bad pick, even though he's.
Well, even though he's the last year. No, here's what Pony would have done. Let's be very clear. He would have rigged it so he got the first pick, and then he would have taken Paul Skeens and said all other arguments are invalid for any other player in this thing. All right. Well, we're waiting. I mean, I will go back to hockey because it's the only guy who I think among this entire list feels larger than life at times when he was on his game. Lemieux was still, 100 points in 73 games. He won the Calder Trophy. Noteworthy, Sidney Crosby did not even win the Calder for Rookie of the Year. Ovechkin did. So I'll take Lemieux in the 84-85 season. He's 19 years old. He's in the Wild West era of the NHL, when things were just very different, and he put up 100 points in a very short period of time. I didn't want to make this pick. I was hoping I was going to get Paul Skeens, but it didn't happen. All right, next one. Now, here's where I'm torn, because I think I can rip your guts out, Donnie, with this pick, but I think it's more of a team award I would be giving this player. But screw it. I'm going to go with it here. He went 14-0 as a starter at the most pressure-packed position in sports, and he did, despite all the Steelers did to try to make him comfortable, he did still deliver the goods in big games. The playoffs weren't as good, obviously. They definitely should have lost to the Jets, but Ben Roethlisberger went 14-0 in the regular season as a rookie who wasn't expected to play. I am a hater, yes, but I'm not that much of a hater. I got to pick Big Ben. Big Ben.
I like the pick, Malzy.
I have to.
I have some other Steelers in the hopper.
Well, now hold on. I'll say this quickly. I had a hipster Steelers pick written down here, and I wanted to go with it, but everyone would have wrote, because if you're in my position and Skeens and Crosby are off the board, you have to go Lemieux Roethlisberger. Everyone roasts you and says you're getting too cute, and I get accused of that in these drafts all the time. I'm not going to be the victim of that anymore. Anyway.
Okay, so I don't have to worry about my hockey player until the end, really, or until, I guess, whenever I want to.
Hockey's the only one where you have, like, carte blanche here, so yes, so you can wait down there and make that pick four.
You just picked your Steeler.
Yep.
I have picked my Pirate. I am actually going to go with my Pitt player here.
Damn it. Please.
And
please.
I am going to take Mr. Tony Dorsett. Almost 1,600 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. As a freshman at Pitt in 1973, 12 touchdowns from scrimmage, an outstanding first season with the Panthers.
I mean,
Dorsett's my guy there.
Great. I mean, great pick. There's nothing I can say. I wanted to pick him. I desperately wanted to pick him and was prevented from doing so. Very good pick. All right, over to intern Sonny Gray.
All right, it's Pitt time. We're going Pitt basketball, and it will be Melvin Bennett. I was suggested this one before the show today.
Oh!
I had a little help.
Yeah!
And I like it.
Melvin Bennett.
Well, he's the hoops guy. You're going to have to...
I mean, I know who told him that, but...
Or did I just get completely, like, pranked?
No, I don't think you got bamboozled. It's just a guy that I had never really thought of. Let me see here. He doesn't even have, though, he doesn't even have a, like a college basketball reference page. Paul Alexander told him to do that. He went to Peabody, he went to Pitt for 2 years, and then he got, went into the NBA draft, played for the Pacers for a little bit, played for teams that weren't NBA teams like the Hawaii Volcanoes. But I can't even find him right now. I can't find him on college basketball reference. Mel Bennett. Power forward, 6'7", 200 pounds. I don't know. I'm left wanting here.
Was I led astray?
No.
Not entirely?
I mean, I don't think you were, but here, college stats. Mel Bennett. Let's see if we got him here. Yeah, I mean, he averaged his freshman, his only year at Pitt. He averaged 10-10. Pretty good pick. I mean, Alexander's going to come bursting in here like the Kool-Aid man telling us we don't know what from what, but that might have lost Sonny the draft, though, because I think most of our listeners are going to be like, really? That's your Pitt player with all the other guys on the board? All right, Sonny, third pick. This is not going better for you than it did the first time. I'm not going to lie here.
Oh, boy. All right, Okay.
Just go with it. You haven't spoken confidently. You're again giving me Tristan Jarry vibes here. I feel like you just let in 4 goals on 20 shots.
My third pick is Jimmy Williams of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Was that confident enough for you?
It was more confident. Jimmy Williams.
I'm making him do the research today.
Wait a minute.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Who knows?
Hold on. You're taking a guy who played his rookie year in 1899? Jimmy Williams.
He did have 27
no,
triples.
No, he led the league in triples. The guy was a triples and doubles machine. He was probably there in the days of Johnny Dickshot, Eagle Eye. Was he around when Glasscock was playing? I mean, he could have been. Jimmy Williams? He had a 946 OPS. It's a good pick. I honestly did not know a man named Jimmy Williams existed. If you're doing something like an intern Dom routine where you're just picking randoms now, I kind of like it. All right, Donnie, we got to hustle now.
Back to me here?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take my Steeler because I think I'm pretty set in stone with who my hockey player will be. I'm going to go with Franco Harris. 1972 rookie campaign, over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. Remember, just 14 games back then as well, so 1,000 yards actually meant more.
Mm-hmm.
5.6 yards per carry, actually the best of his career, believe it or not.
Yeah, he was a monster as a rookie.
And to top it all off, he did win the Rookie of the Year. To top it all off, he just happened to make the most famous play in league history as a rookie.
You don't have to defend that one to me. I think that's good. All right, so you have hockey left, but I've already taken it. So I've got free reign on Pirates. I've also got free reign on Pitt here. It doesn't matter how I do these. Okay. And I have the next two picks anyway, so who cares? Here we go. Come on. Oh.
You got the abbreviated.
I got the... What are we doing here? It's very poorly run right now. Mainly my fault. I think I got to go with the guy who won Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's... I was tempted to say Zach Duke here because he had his nice little 14 start run, but he was getting lucky. Let's be honest, he was pitching to contact. He had a great run. He had a 1.18 ERA, so he was awesome statistically. I'm going with Jason Bay though. He won Rookie of the Year. He had 282, 907 OPS, 26 bombs, 82 knocked in. That guy was good immediately for a team that needed him to be. Yeah, I'm taking Jason Bay.
I feel like he has like a forgotten.
He
great
does.
Rookie year, just because of how the team was at
he
that
does.
Point. He was a very good player.
And I was in the locker room as a young pup, as an intern, covering the team. I don't think I had been in any locker rooms really before that, and I turned while we were doing an interview, and I was like trying to see who else was walking out to be interviewed, and there was Jason Bay across the room's bare ass cheeks was the first thing I saw, Donnie. That is a fact. Zach Duke, by the way, in that locker room, let me tell you something about Zach Duke. Did not look like a classic pro athlete. Necessarily, I would not say Zach Duke was getting in his cardio and his
dad
lifts.
Bod quality.
A lot of dad bod qualities. Yes, yes. All right, last one here. All right, I think Pitt freshman here is where I have I could pick from a lot. You know, I love Larry Fitzgerald, but I think Shady McCoy is the pick. He was objectively better as a freshman. 1,328 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns. He had a receiving TD. He had over 1,500 scrimmage yards. And when Shady McCoy was a freshman, he was the weapon on that team. He just dominated. And Fitz made people look silly, ball in the air. Shady made people look very, very silly trying to tackle him with the lateral jukes and everything else. It was a close pick there because Fitz is like my all-time favorite Panther, I would say. But Shady McCoy, I think, gets the edge. He didn't have as good of a second year as Fitz had. Fitz should have won the Heisman. Hello, Bob Smizek. Hello, Cookie. But I go with Shady McCoy. There
it
we go.
It also should have won that 13-9 game by more points.
Yes, they should have.
Because he had a touchdown get called back egregiously.
Okay.
So is it
yep.
me,
last
back
one.
To me here?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to get my – I have to go hockey here. It's my
yep.
final pick. I'm going to take Evgeny Malkin. You guys took the two big ones, so I was able to sit back and wait on Geno. Not as many points as what Lemieux or Crosby had, but he did still pull in the Calder, so he was the Rookie of the Year.
He was very
NHL
good. He was
at
awesome.
20 years old, so I will happily take that as my final pick here.
All right, last one, Sonny Gray.
All right, final one here. I've been making you guys do a little bit of research, but no research needed on this guy, Joe Green.
That's a good pick. That's a very good pick. I'm not going to say he redeemed himself, but he's got two really nice bookends right there. He goes Sid and Joe Green to bookend two guys neither of us has ever heard of. I respect it. You could have picked the jersey you're wearing. He's wearing a TJ Watt jersey. Okay, can I give you the quick hipster pick I had for the Steelers? Kendrell Bell.
I knew that
Kendrell
was going to be
Bell.
It. Because I also had him.
I think
because he was outstanding
he was
as a rookie.
He was defensive rookie of the year.
And he's a true case of great rookie, sucked.
Very
that.
Little happened after it. You're right. Got hurt. That was it.
Yeah, I knew that was your pick.
All right. Thank you, Sonny Gray.
Of course.
I don't know. You sounded like you were really confident for a little bit there, but mainly with Sid and with Joe Green. Mel Bennett and Jimmy Williams, an interesting set of picks in the middle there. Our team's best rookie seasons by Pittsburgh athletes, intern Sonny Gray, Crosby, Mel Bennett, Jimmy Williams, Joe Green, Donnie has Skeens, Dorsett, Franco, and Geno. I have Lemieux, Big Ben, Bay, and Shady McCoy. Put the poll question out, who won right now on Twitter.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.